You please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. This last April, I went and visited Ryan Mahoney at a transplant house near Mayo Clinic when he was receiving treatment. And when we were there, or when I was visiting with him, he shared the encouragement that he had had from the story, The Lord of the Rings, and particularly the Fellowship of the Ring. That fellowship being the group of nine elves and dwarves and men who supported Frodo the Hobbit in bearing a great burden, the burden of a ring of power. And Ryan remarked on how significant that was because he had nine men who were surrounding him during that time at that transplant house, people who were with him 24/7, supporting him, encouraging him, playing ping pong, just spending that time while he was receiving that treatment. And there were similarities as well in the Fellowship of the Ring in that the burden that Ryan bore was a weighty and a difficult burden. It was not a burden that he chose for himself, but one that had come to him. And he was surrounded by, again, faithful, brave, and faithful men and women as well, supporting him in that trial. Now, in the Fellowship of the Ring, Frodo the Hobbit is faced with a choice when he discovers that this burden, this weighty, difficult thing has come to him. He has it. It's inherited to him, but he does sort of feel like, well, am I going to take it? I'm going to accept this burden redemptively? Or he feels, he's tempted to say, no, someone else should take it. I'm too small to carry such a heavy burden. So he has these choices before him, of accepting the burden redemptively, even though he knows it will bring tremendous trial, or deny the burden and try to escape, save his own skin, to reject it, although suffering for himself and for others is most likely going to occur anyway if he runs away from it. There were consequences in either case. When Frodo subsequently decides that he will take on this burden and accept it, he muses, of course, I have sometimes thought of going away, but I had imagined that as a kind of holiday, a series of adventures like Bilbo's or better, ending in peace. But this would mean exile, a flight from danger into danger, drawing it after me. I suppose I must go alone if I'm to do that and save the Shire, but I feel very small and very uprooted and, well, desperate. The enemy is so strong and terrible. I think here, too, was a word that resonated with Ryan as well. For the enemy that he faced and the enemy of our souls is every bit as strong and terrible as the enemy that Frodo faced or any enemy that appears in fiction. We face sin and temptation. We face powers that seem to be out of our control when we do the thing that we wish not to do. We know the consequences of wrongs that we have done, the wrongs done to us, the way those two things, wrongs we have done, wrongs done to us, cause us to hide ourselves from God and from others. We see violence and injustice, things that it's sort of sin exponentially throughout the world. And we see death in its shadow, in natural death, unnatural death, in sickness, disasters, and disease. The enemy of our souls is very strong and terrible. And in light of that, we would feel small and frail and uprooted and, well, as Frodo said, desperate. He was faced with a stark choice, and each of us are likewise faced with stark choices, each with great consequence. As Moses presents in Deuteronomy, I set before you life and good, death and evil. We can reject God's ways. We can try to escape, seeking our other kinds of deliverance, other relief, running away from the enemy, even though we know that we will ultimately suffer and others will suffer along with us. Or we can obey God and walk in his ways and live redemptively, experiencing life even through trial, but both will bring trial. Obeying God's voice and holding tightly to him doesn't mean that we escape and we just have a holiday by the sea, as Frodo had described, but one that is bringing danger, danger towards us. It's one danger into another. Moses in Deuteronomy was presenting that vision very starkly and plainly to his people, and it's a choice before us as well. Do we serve God, the God who's delivered us from bondage, or gods, the gods of people around us, which in some ways will make the way smooth for a time, but will ultimately end in our peril and our destruction? Do we choose life, or do we otherwise stumble on the many varied paths of death and peril? You will not dwell in the land that God has brought you into, if you do not follow him, if you do not endure. You'll be dry like chaff, as the psalm describes. Chaff, the leftovers from a harvest that wind itself just drives away, that it just blows on the wind. Dry matter, husk of seed, straw, things that are lifeless and blown away on the wind. Or those who choose life might be like those planted by streams of water, rooted and watered, fruitful and prosperous, though those trees also suffer in the midst of the sun beating down, in the midst of trial. Like Frodo, the prospect of choosing life is overwhelming. And it was an overwhelming choice for Ryan day after day until he was ultimately taken by death a week ago this past Saturday. It's an overwhelming thing for a lone disciple. We feel small and very uprooted and, well, desperate. But as Frodo learned, as Christians know, as the scriptures teach us, we don't travel alone. We don't have to go alone to save others or to save ourselves. The choice of life was not just for Frodo's benefit, but for all those, for the fellowship that gathered around him, and for the generations that would come after him. They wished to see him endure, and they were invested in seeing him succeed, even though it meant trial for him, trial for them. Choosing life was not just Frodo's lone preservation, but for the lives of others as well. And likewise, we don't choose life in isolation. We don't face the enemy in isolation. The church is that fellowship that attends to its members and lifts one another up and intercedes for one another. Ryan endured 16 months of tremendous trial, of weighty and difficult burden, but he did not do so alone. There were profound friendships that supported him, profound friendships that were built up around him, friendships that we will tell stories about in the depth of their love and devotion and sacrifice. There was the devotion of Krista, his wife, who was near him to the very end, a faithful and godly woman. He endured those months of trial, but not alone, not in total isolation. He didn't face the enemy alone. Gandalf in The Lord of the Rings answers Frodo's observation, saying that he believes that he may go alone, wisely saying, "But I don't think you need to go alone, not if you know of anyone you can trust and who would be willing to go by your side, and that you would be willing to take into unknown perils. But if you look for a companion, be careful in choosing." And Ryan was blessed to have those good and faithful companions near him, ones that he could trust, ones that would intercede for him, that would stand against the enemy at times of great vulnerability. The church is that fellowship of God's people, choosing life together, interceding, facing the enemy so that we do not face the enemy alone, upholding one another in the race that is set out before us. I'm so encouraged by the way that I've seen our ministry of reconciliation through worship and testimony and faithful presence lived out over the course of this year, in particular lived out in support prayers around Ryan and Krista. Our worship on Sundays and morning prayer on worship nights were times of intercession for other things, but in particular for Ryan's life, for his hope, have been powerful examples of that ministry of seeing that God will redeem us even through this trial. I've been blessed by the testimony of Ryan, of this story even that he told me, of how the fellowship of the ring, the fellowship of the men surrounding him was a blessing to him. But also the testimony of others, of family and neighbors, of friends, of healthcare workers, people who saw how a church was gathered around, that he did not suffer in isolation. the testimony of those who would read scripture and psalms and sing, those who would provide encouragement and exhortation at times just by the prompting of the Spirit. And of course, the faithful presence that was exhibited around Ryan, around our whole body as we have mourned and grieved his suffering and death. The faithful presence of those caregivers that were there for those 24-hour periods while he was at the transplant house. Those who have been involved in acts of service and mowing and of gardening. Those who kept late night vigil. Those who ministered in those tremendous friendships, which they are, they will be as legend for each of us. Those are examples of faithful presence. They're ones that we can cherish, but that are witness to the world of what God can, what God does through his people, how he transforms his people to lay down their lives for one another. As we experienced in walking with Ryan, the church is that center of life which equips us for that activity, those responsibilities before us. And there were particular ones in supporting him and his trial, and there are particular ones that will be in support of a body as we together mourn his loss. There is life in God, in the body of Christ. There's sustenance and direction from God's table, from God's word. As we worship together, it's an expression of how we are choosing to live together, to choose life together, choosing to give generously of our time and our resources to serve one another in love. Together, investing in the eternal kingdom, not the one that just is for our own comfort, not the one that is for our own entertainment, but one that is for the blessing of others that we might endure and finish the race. Now, it's good to know that the spheres, the full vision of ministry is so much bigger than my own narrow, my limited vision. I don't see the full scope of all the work that God has given you to do. And so hearing these testimonies of how God has been at work in Ryan's suffering and death, but in other examples as well, in things like Together for Good and Arrive, is such an encouragement for me as a shepherd and a pastor of this church. That there's so much going on that I can't claim at all. I didn't direct anyone to do it. It was of the direction of the Lord. Some is in my field of vision. But the full scope of your mission is within your field of vision as you are sent out to do the work that God has given you to do each and every week. Work among friends and neighbors, among students, if you're a teacher or a fellow student, among customers and colleagues, children and spouses, patients, family members, and clients. Church the Redeemer is a community that nourishes and equips you for that work that you're given to do, the things that aren't within all of our full vision scope of it, or field of vision, but that is within yours. Your field of vision is much broader in what God has called you to do. The spheres are so much broader as we are sent out into the world. 10 years ago this January, Church the Redeemer celebrated its first service of public worship coming up in January. And so it's appropriate in this coming year that we choose life, we give thanks for the things that God has done in the past, and seek God's blessing for what is to come. This year will be a year with resources to give us to walk in God's ways for that work that God has given you to do. We can't know the particularities of what it might be for you to be a lawyer or a teacher or a physician or a mother or an educator, all the different things that are represented within our body. But we can, again, turn to the Lord from word and table and be sustained together, choosing life, choosing to walk in God's ways. One of the crescendos, one of the high points of this coming year will be confirmation in the month of May as Bishop Stewart comes to confirm our youth. But it's my hope that as well that that will be a high point, a crescendo for the whole body of Christ. For those, if you have been confirmed or haven't been confirmed, in a way in which we can ask for the stirring of the Holy Spirit for it to release us in ministry. The ministries that are existing within our body, but the ministries that are yet to come. Again, those things that aren't yet within my field of vision, but are within yours. That we might be stirred up, blessed by the Holy Spirit, and ordained to the work that he has given you to do. We'll do some of those things. We'll pursue that, seeking the wisdom of the great tradition of what it is as Anglicans to be sent out into the world. Learning from Scripture, from the Book of Common Prayer's vision that God's people would learn every day from God's word and be formed in God's word. Knowing salvation history, as our children shared for us last Sunday. Knowing daily devotion so we know the breadth of God's word. And there'll be opportunity to learn, too, of how God's people have looked at and studied God's word over time, as we'll hope to have a teaching on how the early church read scripture in November. We'll likewise have continuing ways that we articulate and understand sacramental life as a body of Christ, how the grace of God is given to us throughout life. In baptism and Holy Communion, those sacraments that initiate us into the body of Christ and then continue and feed us as we follow God until we reach paradise, as well as other sacramental rites like marriage, what it is to shepherd in sickness and in death, and confession, and confirmation, those moments that we are able to publicly profess, that we choose life, we choose to follow the Lord together, asking for that quickening of the Holy Spirit and ordination to the work that God has given us to do. So this year is a kickoff. It comes at a time that is of a time of sorrow for us, but it is how God has formed us, and it is not an interruption at all to the ministry year ahead. Because we remember of how God has been with us over this last year, how he has been with us and matured us over 16 months, and how he will continue to mature us as a body with that suffering alongside. There are ways to serve and to be equipped, as we'll learn after the service, connecting with other ministry leaders of what are the needs and opportunities within our body. There'll be opportunities to connect with Together for Good that serves families in crisis, and Arrive Ministries, which reaches out to newcomers to our country. There'll be opportunity to hear of Kids of the Redeemer and the ways that we raise up our children in the Word of God and what it is to choose life at their age and within the body of Christ. There'll be Bible studies that will be sharing of the opportunities that they have, and men's and women's listening prayer, which has been a great foundation of formation within our church. But I hope as well that we will just have an opportunity to share names and cities and the work that God has given each of us to do, that we might learn more about the places that God has put each of us and the spheres of influence and of work that he has given us to do as a body, so that we're focused on those things that are within the body, but also blessing and encouraging those things that are out as we are sent out each and every week. I am proud of you. I am thankful to be your pastor and the ways that you have been faithful and obedient to the Lord in a difficult, trying time, and a time that continues to bring grief and sorrow. You have been truly a church of the Redeemer, disciples of Jesus who entrust themselves to him through joy as well as suffering, who look for their redemption in Jesus' death and resurrection. A fellowship of God's people that choose life together, even though it may bring us to great trial, it may just bring us from one danger into danger, upholding one another in the race that is set out before us. The choice before us each and every day, each and every ministry year is clear. Do we choose life and good, death and evil? Let us continue to walk in love and in God's way, loving the Lord our God and obeying his commandments, hearing his voice and following him, choosing life that we and those who come after us may live. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.